Hey, grab a Bible today. Turn to Psalm 139. Psalm 139. And while you're turning there, let me just remind you about this brand new ministry that's launching today at Venice Church. We're launching a brand new prayer ministry here at Venice Church today. And basically what's going to happen at the end of the service, at the end of the message, I'm going to invite you, if you would like, to find someone to pray with you or to pray for you. And if you'll look for one of the team members in one of these lanyards, again, they would love to pray for you. They would love to pray with you. Maybe you have some questions about who Jesus is or about what the message was about, any of those kinds of things. I'll be down front as well. Just find one of those people. They're just going to kind of be hanging around, milling around a little bit, and they're just going to be here to pray with you. And I would encourage you to take advantage of that ministry. And we recognize that it's kind of a new thing for us, but you know, if you need some prayer today, don't hesitate to come on down and talk with one of the folks. Now, let me just say, they don't have all the answers, okay? And I don't have all the answers, but we do want to pray with you and help if we can. So we're beginning this series today called Eve and Adam. And many of you remember that back in the spring, we did a series called Adam and Eve. And it was a series about men. And we talked primarily to the men, and we talked about men being men that honor Christ with their lives. And we looked at Adam, the first man, and we looked at Genesis chapters 1, 2, and 3. And by the way, if you weren't here for those messages, if you didn't hear that series, I would encourage you to go listen to them. You can go to our website, you can listen to them there, or you can go to iTunes and search Venice Church Podcast. You can find them there as well. And so I would encourage you to go listen to Adam and Eve. But this is Eve and Adam, and it's a series about women. And we're going to talk primarily to the women for the next 6 weeks or so. But men, listen to me, all right? Men, don't check out. Men, please do not check out. We're going to talk to women, but the men, I'm almost certain, will learn more than the women. And there's reasons for that. First of all, women are more intuitive, okay? Women are smarter than men. Can we just get that out of the way, that the women are smarter than the men? Okay. I thought the ladies would agree. And, you know, women are more complex than men. And what I mean by that is they actually, like, think about this stuff. Like, they think about life from time to time. And so they're just more complex, they're smarter, they're intuitive. And men, listen, you'll never know all that you need to know about women. And at the same time, you need to know all that you can about women. So men, don't check out. We're going to talk to the ladies, but men, don't check out. And listen, if you're married or if you're engaged or if you're sitting with, you know, next to your significant other, you know, same rules apply to this series. Resist the temptation to jab them, you know, jab him or her. Resist the temptation to throw them that look. Resist the temptation to get all up in their business during the sermon. You'll have plenty of time over lunch to do that. So for in here, you know, some boundaries, all right? So if you're ready, here we go. We're just gonna jump right in. I think it's difficult being a woman. My wife Amy said, what do you know about it? I go, I don't know anything about it, but I think it's difficult being a woman. Am I right, ladies? It's difficult being a woman? That's what I thought. And listen, we're working on this premise. We were working on this premise in the spring, and we're working with this premise now. Men and women are different. Men and women are very different. And there are some things that men do not understand about women. I'm fairly certain that this would be number one. Men do not understand why women are so emotional. Men don't understand. Men do not understand why everything seems to be emotional for women. And do you know what women don't understand about women? Women don't understand why everything's emotional with women. Can we agree that women, for the most part, are more emotional than men? Do you guys agree with that? I think the men and the women would agree that women are more emotional than men. So here's the truth. Many times, men do not understand women, and sometimes women don't understand women. Women are emotional, and that leads to some problems. That can lead to some issues. And here's something that can be a problem. Many times, women will allow the emotional to reign over the spiritual. Women will allow the emotional to reign over the spiritual. In other words, they'll allow the emotional to be greater than God's word. They'll allow the emotional to carry more weight than the scripture. They'll allow the emotional to override the Bible. And that's a problem. See, if we allow the way that we feel to control our lives, that can be a problem. So here's a really important question. How do we make the emotional submissive to the spiritual? How do we bring the emotional in check with the scripture? How do we get the emotional underneath God's word? How do we make it submit to God's word? Well, we're going to deal with this question for the next two Sundays. And this is why this is a problem that many women deal with. And this is why we're going to attempt to address this for the next 2 weeks. Ladies, this can be a problem, and this is difficult because Satan lies to you. This is a problem, and this is an issue because our culture lies to you. So if you're a Christ follower, or maybe you're just checking out this Jesus thing, and maybe you're not sure about this whole church deal, there's something that all of us must recognize. There is a battle ongoing in the world, and it is a spiritual battle. It is a battle between Jesus Christ and Satan. And it is a battle that is waged for every soul of every person. Satan hates you. Satan wants to destroy you. And Satan wants to take you down with him. And he's coming after you. And his primary weapons are lies. He wants to take you down. He wants to destroy you. And his weapons of mass destruction are lies. So we're going to talk about two lies that women believe. We're going to talk about number one today. We're going to talk about number two next Sunday. Now, ladies, listen. If we can discover God's truth that will combat these lies, it will allow you to walk with Jesus with greater confidence. If you can get a hold of God's truth that will combat Satan's lies, it will allow you to walk with Jesus with greater confidence, with greater strength. Or maybe for some of you, it will help you establish a relationship with God through Jesus Christ. All right, so here's lie number one. I'm not good enough. The first lie that Satan's going to tell you, ladies, is that you're not good enough. Now, there are men that buy into this as well, but we're not talking to the men right now. We hammered them in the spring. And listen, there are ladies here today that when it comes to a certain aspect of your life, that you don't believe that you're good enough. There are ladies that are here today that don't believe they're good enough. In some area or areas of your life, you don't feel like you measure up. Now, we're going to go into Genesis chapters 1, 2, and 3 next Sunday, but let me just give you an overview today as we set the stage for this series. And by the way, let me get this right out there. Some of you are wrestling with whether you believe Adam and Eve were real. I believe they were. I believe that Adam and Eve were real. I believe that they were the first people that God created. And let me tell you why I believe in Adam and Eve. Jesus believed in Adam and Eve. Jesus talked about Adam and Eve. The guy that said that he would die and rise from the dead on the third day, and then pulled it off. He believed in Adam and Eve, and he talked about Adam and Eve. And that's good enough for me. And by the way, Jesus didn't just talk about them, you know, from a philosophical perspective. He talked about them in historical context. He talked about them from a historical perspective. So listen, Jesus died and rose again. I'm going with what that guy said. I believe in Adam and Eve. All right, but anyway, this is recorded in the Bible in Genesis chapter 1, verse 27. So God created human beings in his own image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them. Male and female, Adam and Eve, he created them. Now, later on in Genesis chapter 2, we get a detailed description of God creating man and woman. And we could read about it, and we'll get into some of that next week. So God created man, and then God gave him a job. His job was to name all the animals. And while Adam's naming all the animals, he begins to recognize, well, okay, there's a male horse, female horse, male cow, male human, no female human. And God said, you know, it's not good for the man to be alone. Everybody else has a companion. Everybody else has someone to do life with. I'm going to make him a helper. I'm going to make him a companion. And so God created woman. God put Adam to sleep, and he took a rib from his side, and he created woman from the rib. Now there's our first clue that men and women are different. All right, think about this. This will tell you a lot about men and women. This will tell you a lot about the difference between men and women. God made man from dirt. Okay, God took the dust of the ground and created Adam. He took the dust of the ground and created man. Man is made from dirt. No wonder they're so dirty. But woman was made from bone. Woman was made from man's rib. Women are different. Women are unique. Women are special. Woman was taken from man's side to be beside him. And Eve was custom designed by God. And then Eve's first relationship is with God. Because Adam's asleep. Adam's knocked out. So Eve's first relationship is with God, and she finds her identity in her relationship with God. And then, you know, God woke Adam up, and he put Adam and Eve together, and there was nakedness and fruit, that whole thing. But then in Genesis chapter 3, everything took a turn. In Genesis chapter 3, the serpent, Satan, he comes to Eve and he says, did God really say? Did God really say that you can't eat from that tree? Did God say that you may not eat from that tree? See, there was one tree that God commanded them not to eat of. God created this world, and he created this amazing place that we call the Garden of Eden, and God put Adam and Eve in that place, and he said, eat from this orchard, eat from anything here except from that one tree. And in Genesis chapter 3, Satan showed up and he said, did God really say that? I mean, did God really say don't eat from that tree? See, Eve was having this conversation with the serpent, with Satan, and Eve's insecurities began to surface. She began thinking that God was holding out on her. She began to believe that she was missing something. The devil made her believe that God was holding out on her. There's something that I don't have. And when she began to focus on what she didn't have, she lost sight of her relationship with God. She lost sight of her identity, which was found in her relationship with God. She began to focus on something that she thought she needed. She began to focus on something that she did not have. She had all of this blessing from God, all of this orchard to eat from, and she began to focus on the one thing she did not have. In Eve's life, this is where the emotional began to override the spiritual. This is where the emotional became greater than God's word. She began to focus on how she felt instead of the truth of God's literal word. God literally spoke right to them and said, don't eat from that tree. But her emotions, the way she felt, began to take precedence over what God had said. And she ate the fruit. And we've been paying for it ever since. And see, she bought into the lie. Satan told her that she was not good enough. There's something missing. You're missing something, Eve. You're not good enough. And listen, she was starting to find her identity in something that she did not have instead of all that God had already blessed her with. Now, ladies, I believe that there are ways that Satan comes after you today. I mean, you've never had a conversation in your orchard with a snake, but, you know, Satan's coming after you. And there's some definite areas where Satan attacks. There's some specific ways that the devil attacks you to tell you that you're not good enough. And I just want to share 7 areas with you today, ladies. And this is not an exhaustive list. I think these are just my top 7, all right? These are 7 areas where the devil lies to you, ladies. These are areas where we will substitute our identity in Christ and try to find our identity in one of these things. And the first one is appearance. The devil will come to you and he will tell you, you know, there's something missing. You're missing something. All right, now ladies, help me here, because I think I'm on the right track. And so ladies, if this next statement that I'm going to make is true, would you just give me a mm-hmm? Could we practice that one time, ladies? Everybody say it, mm-hmm. All right, ladies, so if this next statement is true, just give me one of those. Ladies, it's not about looking pretty, it's about feeling pretty. Mm-hmm. See, guys don't get that. Guys are like, what? It's about feeling pretty? See, I've never walked up to one of my friends and said, dude, you're looking handsome today. And he said, really? Thanks, man. I'm not really feeling it, though. That has never happened. That's never going to happen. It's not about looking pretty. It's about feeling pretty. Check this out. Most of you know that I married way above myself in the looks department. I married way above my pay grade. Okay? My wife, Amy, is smoking hot. I'm not afraid to tell you. She's smoking hot. She's 50, and she is smoking hot. That is one hot granny. No lies. But let me tell you about a recurring conversation that Amy and I have. We get dressed, and we're headed out, and we're going to dinner, movies, or something, and I will tell her that she looks nice. You look pretty. And she'll go, yeah, right, whatever. And do you know what she'll say? I don't feel pretty. Ladies, many of you look pretty today, but you don't feel pretty. And you're not feeling it because the world is constantly bombarding you with the idea that you're not pretty. You're not pretty because you don't use that certain shampoo, and you're not pretty because you don't use that conditioner, and you're not pretty because you don't use that body wash, and you're not pretty because you don't use that face lotion. You're not pretty because you don't use that wrinkle cream. Women spend, on average, over $13,000 a year on beauty products in the United States of America. We spend billions on beauty products. But no matter what you spend and how you spend it, there are going to be days when you just don't feel it. And beyond all the products and all the advertising, there are magazine covers and celebrities. Ladies, let me give you three words where celebrities and magazine covers are concerned. Entourage, airbrushed. See, they have an entourage. They have someone to do their hair, and they have someone to do their makeup, and they have, you know, a trainer to tell them when to work out and how to work out and how often to work out, and they have a dietitian that tells them, yes, you must eat that, and you cannot eat that, and you must eat at this time, and you cannot eat at that time. And so they go to this photo shoot after their hair and makeup is all done, and after they've trained for it, literally trained for a magazine shoot, and after the shoot, some guy gets on his computer, some gal gets on her computer and says, let's clean this up even more. Now, how sick is that? And it's no wonder that women in our culture don't feel pretty. Can I share a fact of life with you? There's always somebody better. Guys, there's always somebody bigger, faster, stronger, tougher, meaner, badder. Always. Ladies, there's always somebody prettier, somebody smarter, somebody more fashionable than you. And this is what women will do. Women will criticize, but they'll passive-aggressive criticize. Like they'll go, oh, she has a really cute body, but she shouldn't wear that. Well, she shouldn't or you couldn't. I'm just here to ask some questions today. Ladies, think about this. Maybe you don't feel pretty because you're comparing yourself to the 16-year-old version of you. You just don't feel pretty. Ladies, Satan's going to lie to you. He's going to try to get you to find your identity in your appearance. And then he might even try to get you to find your identity in your house, in your home. Some women feel like their home, their house, is an extension of them. Ladies, does the housework ever get done? Not really, right? Do you know what's bad news for ladies? Food Network. Food Network is bad news for ladies because, ladies, you're never going to cook and bake that well because it's not that easy. You know what else is bad news? HGTV. Home and Garden Television. Ladies, because you're never getting that kitchen. And you're not getting that backsplash. You're not getting the tub with the jets. And on top of all that, you actually have to cook and clean and pick up after your husband and your kids. Oh, and by the way, he's not getting that man cave. And that means he's not going to leave you alone. Isn't that what a man cave is all about? Ladies, isn't it about him getting off you? I mean, I think that's what it's about, really. You know, I feel bad for Amy because, like, her work is never done, and our hamper is never empty for long, because the truth is, when I put one pair of shorts in there, that thing's full. But, the hamper's always full. Ladies, in your appearance, maybe in your home, some of you will try to find your identity in your kids. Some women have their identity wrapped up in their children. Ladies, let me give you some truth right now. It doesn't all reflect on you. It doesn't all reflect on you. You say, well, my kids rebelled. Hey, God's first kids rebelled. Adam and Eve rebelled. Your kids might rebel. Some ladies get all wrapped up in their kids' grades in school. Some ladies get all wrapped up in their kids' extracurricular activities. And then, man, if your kids act out in public, oh, I'm a horrible mom. No, you're not. They're kids. Kids say dumb things. Kids do dumb things. Kids say hurtful things. Kids do hurtful things. You can't get it all wrapped up in your kids. And you can't get it all wrapped up in relationships. There's some single ladies that are here, and maybe you're believing that being single is a sickness. You believe that the cure is to find a guy and get married. But this is reality. Singleness is not a sickness. Singleness is a gift. I like that some of y'all like that. The Apostle Paul even said that in his writing in the New Testament. He said, being single is a gift. Use it for God's glory. Use it for the church. There's probably some ladies that are married or have been married, and they would say that they thought that marriage would make their problems go away. And it didn't work out that way. Some of you believe, you know, if you were pretty enough, if you were smart enough, if you were funny enough, if you were thin enough, if you were godly enough or ungodly enough, you'd be married. Listen, ladies, we've been down this road before, but it needs to be said again, and we're going to say it a bunch in this series. And I know some of you are getting this, and some of you are taking hold of this. Some of you are buying into this with all of your heart, and it has changed your life. You don't find your identity in a man or in marriage. Your identity is in Jesus Christ. You are God's daughter. Your identity is not in some dude. Your identity is in Christ. You are God's daughter. Some of you are divorced. You think you're not good enough. You feel like you're damaged good. Nothing could be further from the truth. Your identity is in Christ. You are God's daughter. Go ahead. You should. Some of you are going to get wrapped up in your career. Because you do. You have a great job. And you have great careers. But you cannot find your identity in your career. Some people, just because it's natural in some ladies, they're going to try to get their identity from religion. They're going to try to get their identity from religion. And here's the problem with finding your identity in religion. See, there's an idea out there that godly people, that godly women have it all together. That godly women don't deal with stress and worry and anxiety. That godly women have perfect children. And listen, this is why this is dangerous. If your identity is tied to things going well in your religion, then when things don't go well, you're either going to stop going to church or you're going to continue showing up at church and you're going to fake it. you're going to act like everything's cool. Let me tell you something. You can be a godly woman and you can be wrestling with some junk in your life. You can be a godly woman and you'll be wrestling with some junk in your life, because you'll always be wrestling with junk in your life because you're a woman and because you're human. Here's one more. Your past. Some of you can get it all wrapped up in your past. Some of you are being defined by your past. Some of you are finding your identity in your past. You're being defined by something that happened in your past. Listen, I've been in ministry for 25 years, and this is what I found to be true. Almost every woman who has a problem with sin in their past, it's almost always a sexual sin. And listen, you cannot erase that life. You cannot erase those encounters. You cannot erase that from your intellectual, your emotional, and your spiritual being. And listen, the idea that sex is purely physical is a lie straight from hell. It is a lie straight from Satan. If they were just physical acts, people wouldn't be dealing with those issues and those scars 30 years later. Listen, you've done something in your past and you're not proud of it. We all have. But let me tell you, Satan will attack that over and over and over. And he'll tell you you're not good enough. Now, ladies, by looking at this list, we can describe every woman with two words. And you're like, come on, Craig, don't make generalizations. Don't throw me in there. I'm sorry, but let me just give you two words. Number one, tired. Thank you for that. Mm-hmm. I appreciate that. By the way, ladies, if you want to continue that throughout, feel free. I'm good with that. You know why you're tired? Look at the list. Look at that list. That's a lot of hats to wear. And you don't know which hat to wear. Wife hat, mom hat, work hat. It's no wonder that you're tired. You're tired. Here's another word. Frustrated. Now, a great deal of your frustration probably comes from externals. And by externals, what I mean is husbands and kids. But look at this list. It's no wonder that you're tired and frustrated. That's a lot of pressure. And some truth. There will never be a time in your life when you have all of these things in perfect order. You never arrive. This side of heaven, you're never going to have all of this together, all of those seven things together. And that's why this is so important. Ladies, you must trade finding your identity in these circumstances to finding your identity in a relationship with God through Jesus Christ. And listen, Jesus is always greater than your circumstances. Let me give you two reasons today, ladies, that finding your identity in Christ is the way to go. Number one, in Christ, I am priceless. In Christ, you are priceless. Some of the ladies here today, you're not believing this, but ladies, in Christ and in Christ alone, you are priceless. And let me tell you about the woman who doesn't see herself as priceless. The woman who doesn't see herself as priceless will abuse herself. She will abuse herself. And listen, Jesus Christ makes you valuable. You have value because God says you have value. You have value because Jesus died on the cross for you. You have value because Jesus rose from the dead for you. The woman who doesn't see herself as priceless will abuse herself, and the woman who doesn't see herself as priceless will allow a man to abuse her. Some of you are in an abusive relationship right now. And it may just be verbal, but you don't deserve that. Check this out. This passage, Psalm 139, this passage was written by a guy. But for what it's worth, he was a really emotional guy. King David's probably the most emotional character in the scripture. And we need to see, we all need to see this truth, but ladies, you especially need to see this truth today. Let's start in verse 13. He's talking to God and he said, "You made all the delicate inner parts of my body and knit me together in my mother's womb. Thank you for making me so wonderfully complex. Your workmanship is marvelous, and how well I know it. You watched me as I was being formed in utter seclusion, as I was woven together in the dark of the womb. David said that he was custom designed by God. He's a one-of-a-kind, custom-designed guy. And God didn't just design him. God oversaw the assembly. And everybody, but especially ladies, you were custom designed by God. You were put together by God. You were designed and built by the creator of the universe. And you were created with purpose, and you were created for a purpose. You are not an accident. God did not make a mistake, and you are priceless because you are God's masterpiece. You see, some of you struggle with that because you think it's not true of you. You think it's true of others, but you don't think it's true of you. Oh, that's true of my sister. That's true of my daughter. No, it's true of you. It's true of you. You think it's not true because of something that happened in your past. It's true of you. Look at verse 16. God, you saw me before I was born. Every day of my life was recorded in your book. Every moment was laid out before a single day had passed. You think that you don't have value because of something that happened in your past, but God knew it all before you lived it. David said, you knew it all before I ever lived it, God. You think that you're not valuable, ladies, because of something that happened in your past, but God saw it all before you lived it. God knew every poor choice you would make. God knew every sin that you would commit. God knew every foolish, self-centered, and sinful decision that you were going to make before he made you. And he made you anyway. And he arranged for payment of that sin by sending his one and only son, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross to pay the penalty for your sin. You are priceless. You are valuable. The cross itself says that you're priceless. God was willing to pay any price to win you back. Look at verse 17. How precious are your thoughts about me, O God? They cannot be numbered. I can't even count them. They outnumber the grains of sand. And when I wake up, you're still with me. God made you special. David said, God, you made me, and I'm on your mind. You're still with me. You're staying with me. Ladies, you are priceless. And number two, in Christ, you are complete. In Christ, you are complete. Ladies, of those seven things, does it seem like one or more of those seven things is out of control? I mean, have you ever rolled out of bed and just thought, God, I'm going to lose it today. I'm falling apart. I can't do this anymore. Sometimes our lives get so hectic that we just want to bail out. We want to bail on God, and we want to bail on our husband, and we want to bail on our kids, and we want to bail on our church, and we want to bail on our small group, and we want to bail on our ministry. Look at this. The Apostle Paul wrote this in a letter that he wrote to the church at Colossae. He said, Christ existed before anything else, and he holds all creation together. Christ existed before he created any of it, and he still holds it all together. If there's something in our lives that's falling apart, it's because it's not in Christ. Ladies, if there's something in your life that's falling apart, it's because it's not in Christ. Because if it's in Christ, he holds it together. Jesus holds it all together. He existed before anything else. He created it all, and he holds it all together. He's greater than any of those seven things. He's greater than the thing that you want to bail on. He holds it all together. You are complete in him, and he holds it all together. You are priceless, and you are complete. In Christ, you are priceless. In Christ, you are complete, and He can hold it all together. If you feel like you're falling apart, He will hold you together. If you're stuck in your past, He will hold you together. If you're finding your identity in one of those seven things, He will hold you together. Because you are priceless, and you are complete. In Christ, you are priceless. In Christ, you are complete. Would you pray with me? Just every head bowed, every eye closed today, because even though I made some generalizations, I recognize that every lady here is at a different place in her life. And maybe you're a lady that's here today, and you know without any doubt that you've given your life to Jesus Christ. You put your faith in His death and in His resurrection for your salvation, for the payment of your sins. But maybe you haven't seen yourself as priceless, and maybe you haven't seen yourself as complete. And maybe somehow and in some area, in some areas, you're allowing the emotional to reign over the spiritual. And you just want to get that cleaned up with God today. We're going to pray for you. And maybe there's a lady here today that would say, you know, I'm not in Christ. I've never put my faith and trust in Jesus Christ. I've never put my faith in His death and His resurrection for the payment of my sins. And I want to be in Christ, because in Christ I'm priceless, and in Christ I'm complete. Ladies, if you're a Christ follower, would you pray with me? Just pray to yourself, but say it in your heart. Just say, Father God, I believe with all my heart that in Christ I am priceless and I am complete. But Father, I can admit today, and I confess to you today, Father, that sometimes I allow the emotional to override your word. Sometimes I allow the emotional to have reign over what you've clearly taught me in your word. And so, Father, I submit it all to you today. I confess it and I surrender it all to you today. Father, I am priceless and I am complete in Christ, and I want Him to hold it together. I give Him the authority in my life to hold it together. And maybe you've never given your life to Jesus, ladies, and you would just pray, God, I think about my past and I see the mistakes I've made. I see where I've disobeyed you. I've seen where I've sinned against you. And I believe today that Jesus died to pay for my sins and that He rose again. And I believe that He can hold me together. And that's what I want. I put my faith in Jesus Christ today. And Father God, I take Him as my Savior. I take Him as my sustainer. I pray that He will hold me together. And I believe that I am priceless and I am complete in Him. And Father, we thank you for the truth and the promises of your word. Thankful for your Son Jesus. Thankful that each one of us are priceless and complete because of Jesus Christ. And we pray in His wonderful and awesome and powerful name. Amen. Again, if you need to pray with somebody, the prayer team will be down front. Just look for the person in the lanyard. And it's been great being with you guys today. God bless you. Have a great day.